Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Day Congregation. I'm down to 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 23, 2017, or the 6th, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Precious Memories. How they linger. Precious memory of the unseen angel sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me and the sacred past and soul. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving mother, why across the lonely year, and no home save of my childhood, and fond memories appear. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. In the stillness of the midnight, echo from the past I hear, old time singing, gladness bringing, from that lovely land somewhere. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memory flood my soul. Precious memory, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
Sin is a transgression of the law, part 7. We're going to turn to, for our memory verse, we're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, start with verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Yahweh. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Yahweh said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And Yahweh said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusel, and Methusel begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Yahweh said, She hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Verse 26. And unto Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Yahweh. What did we learn from this chapter 4 of Genesis? We learn that there is true and false worship. Cain, the firstborn, was taught true worship by his father Adam and Eve and mother. Abel was taught true worship. He was the younger, and they both grew up together, no doubt. And when they became of age to be the priest of their own household, And I believe about 30 years old is the time that you had to be at least 30 years old before you could go out and start your own family. Cain and Abel represents true and false worship. False worship is without the blood. True worship is with the blood. So, that's just that pure and simple. Today, we have true and false worship today. True worship is still following the laws of the everlasting covenant that was set up at the Garden of Eden. That's the same laws that Moses was taught coming out of Egypt for the children of Israel. And Moses was taught the laws of the everlasting covenant by his mother and father when he was raised up by his mother and father at the age of 12, and he had to go to the king's palace. Moses had been taught by the time he was 12 years old the plan of salvation for the brother of the everlasting covenant that was taught to Cain and Abel by their father Adam. Okay, so now we have that same plan of salvation taught clear down to the end of time. And the only thing that made a change in the form of worship we have today from the old days of old, you'll find it there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It's just right there in front of you. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances. The law of the commandments contained in ordinances. Okay, that's your sacrificial service of the sanctuary. That's the laws of the sacrificial service of the sanctuary. For the making himself a clean one new man, so making peace. Okay, now, what does that tell us? And that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh and one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So in verse 14 it says in Ephesians 2, it says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. What is he talking about? That middle wall of the partition between us. You know, folks, the picture here is really very plain. Paul is a Jew, and his ministry is for the Gentiles, and he's over there at the Ephesus, and he's dealing with the Ephesians, Gentiles, and he's teaching them the plan of salvation, the transition of the two economies from the old covenant to the new covenant. That's simply plainly put, and he says, and I'm going to read it to you there, and let's just read the whole chapter of Ephesians chapter 2 and get the whole picture. It says that, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sins. Who's he talking about? He says, you Gentiles hath he quickened, wherein in time past you walked according unto the course of this world, according unto the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of the disobedient, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Yahweh, who is rich in the mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in the sins, hath he quickened us together with Yahshua. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in the Yahshua Messiah. Now, Paul is teaching a whole new revelation here to the world. Even the disciples, the 11 disciples that he joined, did not understand this fact that Paul is teaching here to these Ephesian Gentiles. Peter had to have a special revelation in order to be shown the same thing that Paul was shown. When Peter got the vision that the Gentiles had a soul and that they weren't dogs and that salvation was open for them too and that they actually kin folks to the Jews, then Peter went and joined Paul. And then the rest of the disciples joined in. And then they began to preach to the Gentiles, whereas before, they only thought the ministry was for their own blood people, and that was the Jewish people. Alright? Now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, said that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Yahshua Messiah. Now when Paul says us, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles together. Keep this in mind. For by grace are ye saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of the Father, Yahweh. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in the Yahshua Messiah, unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye have been in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. Let's do that again. Who is called by the term as the uncircumcision by the Jews. I'll put that as a pronoun for the Jews, which is called by the circumcision and the flesh made by hand. Now, how do you identify between Jews and Gentiles in the flesh? Those who have the law of circumcision and abide by it, you can determine who is Jew and Gentile. If you go to a man and ask him if he's circumcised, and he says yes, you can assume that he is of the Jewish people. If you go to another man and ask if he's circumcised, and he says no, then you can automatically assume he's a Gentile. That at that time, verse 12, you were without the Yahshua, being aliens from the commonwealth of the Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh and the world. But now in the Yahshua Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of the Yahshua. Now what is it saying there? But now, in the Yahshua, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of the Yahshua. So the blood of Yahshua taught properly and kept properly here in this life, you can go to any people, any race of people, and teach them how they can be made nigh unto the house of Israel, unto the everlasting kingdom of heaven, by the blood of the Yahshua. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. Here's Paul again, talking to the Gentiles. Says, yeah, there was a middle wall of the partition between the two races of people, the Jewish and the Gentile. But no longer. Because Yahshua is having abolished in his flesh He abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for the making himself a friend, one new man, so making peace. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, who is Paul talking about? The handwriting of ordinances was against the Jews and the Gentiles for the new covenant. When we come to that transition of the two economies, and Yahshua in his flesh made the transition by his sacrifice and death on the cross, he broke down that middle wall partition between the Gentiles and the Jews, and for the Gentiles and the Jews, for the new covenant. In other words, the Jews had to be converted to the new and living way. The Gentiles had to be converted unto the Jews that were converted unto the new and living way. And it says so right there in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you walk after the flesh, it means that you is following the ordinances of the old covenant blood sacrifice. That's what you literally did in the flesh. You did that in the flesh. But in the new and living way, you do it in the Spirit. It was accounted unto you for righteousness in the old covenant when you did it in the flesh. But when you do it in the Spirit, it means you do it without the sacrifice of the animal. That's how you do it without the flesh as well. For it says in Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua Messiah hath made thee free from the law of sin and death. Now let's read that there. Colossians 2, 14 and 15 again. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary unto us, and took it out of the way, nailing it unto his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. So Paul, being a Jew, he's talking to the Colossian Gentiles now. He says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. In other words, if we don't take away those handwriting of ordinances, then we have to still continue to follow the ordinances of the blood sacrifice of the animal. But his death on the cross nullified all of that and took that out of the way, nailed it to his cross, and now you keep these the holy days, you keep those days that are appointed for these sacrifices. It didn't nullify the holy days. Because it says right there in Colossians 2:16, so let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. So he said, now after Yahshua has taken away his handwriting of ordinances now, you continue on keeping the holy days and observing at the appointed times of the sanctuary. At the third hour of the day and the ninth hour of the day, you continue to observe those sacred hours that was observed under the old covenant. But you don't do the animal sacrifices, because when Yahshua, the moment he died on the cross, the priest was about to raise his knife to slay the lamb at the altar of sacrifice, and lo and behold, the curtain rent in the temple, in the middle, the lamb fled away, and the priest had to drop his knife, showing that the animal sacrifice is over for the old covenant. And it says right here in Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of the Messiah. Now, did you get that? Let us therefore, verse 16, that no man therefore judge you in the meat or in the drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Yahshua. What does it mean, a shadow of things to come? It means that you repeat the sacrificial system, the practice of the sacrificial system, and then by using the body of Yahshua, because it says right here, which verse 70, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of the Yahshua, not the animal anymore. It says right there. It's that pure and simple. So it says in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So he said, don't let that Jewish fellow come along now and tell you that because he didn't. Don't let the Jewish fellow that didn't accept Yahshua as his Savior, that didn't accept that sacrifice on the cross for him, don't let him come along behind you now and tell you and beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, claiming to be doing it voluntarily and worshiping of angels himself, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. And here comes these Jewish people. They didn't see what you saw. They didn't accept what you accepted in the new and living way by the blood of Yahshua. They didn't get the vision on that because they rejected the Messiah and hung him on the cross to begin with. So how could they have light on that when they rejected him? They were the ones that helped hang him on the cross. So don't let him come along now and beguile you by telling you that what happened on the cross wasn't so. That wasn't a true event, that he wasn't the true son of Yahweh, that he was an imposter. Don't let him come along and tell you that and beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So if you stay with the old covenant, the animal sacrifices, don't accept the new and living way through the sacrifice of the Yahshua on the cross, then you're puffed up in your fleshly mind. You're knowing nothing. And that's reading why Paul says right there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about that. He talks about that in 1 Timothy. He said in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Yahshua Messiah, by the commandment of Yahweh, our Savior, and Savior Yahshua Messiah. I'll just do it again. Paul, an apostle of the Yahshua Messiah, by the commandment of the Father, Yahweh our Savior, and Yahshua Messiah also, which is our co-Savior with the Father, which is our only hope. I'll put the word only in there. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, in the blood of the new and living way of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Grace, mercy, and peace from the Father, our Yahweh, and Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed unto fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than righteous edifying, which is in the faith of the blood of the Yahshua, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of the faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. What law? The law of the sanctuary, of the ordinances of the sacrificial system. How do you use it lawfully in the new covenant? You use it by going by faith into the heavenly sanctuary above on these holy days and on every day of the week and at the sacred hours, the third and the ninth hour of the day. And when you do this by faith, then Yahshua is there as the high priest in the first department of the heavenly sanctuary. Through the channel of the Holy Spirit, He receives your petitions on a daily basis, on all holy days, all days. And then He says, that's how you use the law lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the unrighteous and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with the mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary unto sound doctrine. Now what I'm telling you, teaching you, is sound doctrine. Okay. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed Yahweh, the Father, that was committed unto my trust. Now Paul said that this sacred gospel of the Father was committed unto his trust. And I thank Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Savior was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love, which is in the Yahshua Messiah. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And Yahshua Messiah came into the world to save sinners. Okay? So if you save a sinner, what do you save him into and what do you save him from? Number one, you save him from his sin. You save him out of this old world that is doomed for destruction into the new world, the everlasting kingdom. And incidentally, you're translated into that kingdom. You have to first be translated into that kingdom. And it says so there in Colossians 1:13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of the darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You have to have this redemption through his blood to get the forgiveness of sins. If you don't have that, you don't have forgiveness of sins. Who is the image, who is in the image of the invisible Father as the firstborn of every creature? Paul is telling these Colossian Gentiles, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of the sins, who is in the image of the invisible Yahweh, as the firstborn of every creature. Then it says there in Colossians 4:4, we'll go read a cross-reference here, it says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to ye ought to answer every man. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him were all things created. Paul is saying, by the Son, Yahshua, all things are created, were created, that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. Now, isn't this amazing? Paul is confirming the same thing said right over there in John chapter 1. He's confirming the same thing in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with the Father. Same Word was in the Father. Now, I added some prepositional phrases there that were missing. But I had to in order to make it understandable. For it says in John chapter 1, verse 2, for the same was in the beginning with the Father. Who is the same? Yeshua, the Word. And it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of the grace and truth. There's your confirmation. Verse 3, John chapter 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay, so now, Paul is reaffirming what was said there in John chapter 1. And Paul is reaffirming here in Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created that are in the heaven. And you can go now to, you can go to Hebrews chapter 1 and, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Yahweh, who at the sundry times and in the divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being in the brightness of His glory, and in the express image of His person, talking about the express image of the Father, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on the heaven of the heavens. Okay, so if your sins of Yeshua purged our sin by His blood. But then, according to Revelation chapter 5, the judgment scene for the living, here in this 12th parabolic hour, we go and read that, find out that the Father is the one that gives the pardon, and from the most holy place on the Day of Atonement, it's the Son that purges our sins by His blood. And so as we read Revelation chapter 5, He says, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on a throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with the seven seals. So these seven seals are opened up here in the 12th hour, judgment of living time. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of the David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, and which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto Yahweh by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, Revelation 1:6. That's right here in this 12th parabolic hour when this will all take place. This is, and it says in Revelation 5:11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That corresponds with Daniel 7:10. And we're going to read that right quick. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The books, the judgment was set, and the books were open. This is a prophecy about the judgment of the living in the 12th parabolic hour. And this is what we're dealing with now. The Father accepts the purging, and he grants the pardon. Then the Son sits down on the right-hand side of the Majesty after he purges all of our sins of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So now David talked about that way back there in Psalms 104, verse 1. David talked about that. Let's go look at it. It says, Bless the Yahweh, O my soul, O my Yahweh, my Elohim. Thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Then it says there in Psalm 93:1, it says, the Yahweh reigneth, he is clothed with the majesty, the Yahweh is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. He's actually talking about the Son, Yahshua. We've got the upper and lower caps here as well. It says in Psalm 93, verse 1, for the Yahshua reigneth. He is clothed with the majesty of what? Of the Father. The Father is the majesty. He's clothed with that, with the Father's glory, it says there in Hebrews chapter 1. The Yahshua is clothed with the strength, and wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. That throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. Now David is talking about the Son, Yahshua. He says his throne was established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Yahshua. The floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their ways. The Yahshua on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are for sure. Okay, now what does it mean by that? Thy testimonies are for sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Yahshua, forever. Now he's talking about the Son here. How do we know? Because it says there, in Hebrews 12:17, it talks about this very thing. It says, For you know how that afterward, when we would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, so he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not coming to the mount that might be tested, and that might that burneth fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and temper, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that the words should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, unto the general assembly, and church of the firstborn, which are written in the heaven, and unto the Yahweh, as the judge of all, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24. And to Yahshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, For if they escape not who receives him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. This same voice of Yahshua spoke at the flood unto the antediluvians, and they wouldn't hear it. They perished in the waters of the flood. Likewise today at the cross, those that rejected Yahshua's voice, and we are talking about this testimony of Yahshua. And I actually, and I was reading in Hebrews chapter 12. Actually, I want to go to Revelation chapter 12 now about this testimony. And Revelation 17. I mean, Revelation 12. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, and have the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. Now this testimony of the Yahshua Messiah is what we're dealing with. It says here in Revelation 13:7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So now, who is this here? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. It was given unto Satan, this old dragon, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, Revelation 13. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, of the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17:8. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Alright? Now, I want to go back to Psalms 93. It says, for the Yahshua reigneth, he is clothed with the majesty. What does it say there in Hebrews chapter 1 again? Let's go read it. It says that, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, of the Father's glory, and in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on heaven. Now, who purged our sin? Was it Yahshua or was it the Father? It was the Father on the Day of Atonement. Yahshua only presented our sins with the prayers and the incense. And he offered it before the Father on the great white throne set up in the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. And it says, he pleaded our case. He said, my blood, my blood, my blood, Father. And it said the Father looked upon his Son, his great sacrifice, and the fact that he was offering his blood for all of these that had repented their sin, and the Father purged their sins. The Father pardoned and purged them. All right, let us continue. Now it says there in Genesis chapter 18, let's go and read it. Genesis 18:20, it says, and the Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Genesis 19:13. Okay, now, it says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according unto the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Yahweh. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken unto me to speak unto the Yahweh, which am but dust and ashes. peradventure they shall lack five of the 50 righteous, wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto Yahweh. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, what's going on here? Abraham pleaded with Yahweh that if there's at least 10 found there, will you not destroy it? Yahweh couldn't even find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't even find 4 righteous. He found 4 that went out with the angels, but Lot's wife was the 4th one. And she turned back and was turned to a pillar of salt, and so only Lot and his 2 daughters got out of Sodom and Gomorrah alive. The rest were destroyed. In Genesis 20, verse 9, it says, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and where have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. What is Yahweh talking to Abraham about here? Let's read the start with verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Yahweh came to Abimelech in a dream by the night, and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Yahweh, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Now, Abimelech, he believes that he represents a righteous nation. Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he is my brother. And the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And Yahweh said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all thine inheritance, and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Abraham said, behold, I thought surely the fear of Yahweh is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. See, Abraham judged that place as not being righteous, but we found out that it was a righteous nation represented by that man Abimelech there. And it came to pass when Yahweh called me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me, that every place where we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Genesis 20:14, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him a Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is unto thee a covering of the eyes, and unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto Yahweh, and Yahweh healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. And Yahweh had fast closed up all the rooms of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now you see, whether you sin ignorantly or presumptuously or innocently, it don't make any difference. Yahweh cannot regard iniquity in any form, shape, or fashion. This brings us to the study. This hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Who at my door is standing? Who at my door is standing? Patience drawing near. Entrance within demanding. This is the voice I hear. Sweetly the charms are falling, open the door for me. If ever heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without his staying, lonely within am I. While I'm still delayed, I am condemned to die. Sweetly the charms are falling, open the door for me. If ever heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten. Thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues have fallen. Open the door for me. If ever heed my calling, I will abide with thee.